From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues the theme of Principles of Spiritual Warfare, part of this series in the book of Joshua. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 is the text. Joshua was alone at night near Jericho, probably musing on the battle ahead. At that point, he received a visit from the captain of the Lord of Hosts, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. This was the third in a series of spiritual preparations for the conquest of Canaan. The Lord himself came to Joshua to remind him that although physical activity is necessary in the Lord's work, there must first of all be a meeting with the God of heaven and earth. Dr. Cairns listed the first principle as a recognition of the reality of the spiritual world. Then in this spiritual battle, victory is assured because the Lord himself is fighting for his people. Next, the appearance of the captain of the Lord's hosts taught Joshua that communion with Christ must precede contending with the enemy. The fourth principle is the realization that in this spiritual warfare, the battle is the Lord's. Israel was about to encounter the greatest opposition they'd ever seen, but the Lord who had promised them the victory would fight for them. At this point, Dr. Cairns cautions God's people against extremes in spiritual conflict. On the one hand, there is the danger of doing nothing because God is in control. Conversely, some Christians suffer severe guilt, thinking that it all depends on them. A balance between these two is needful. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm number 30 and verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Christian, if thou art in a night of trial, think of the morrow. Cheer up thy heart with the thought of the coming of thy Lord. Be patient, for lo, he comes with clouds descending. Be patient, the husbandman waits until he reaps his harvest. Be patient, for you know who has said, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. If you are never so wretched now, remember, a few more rolling suns at most will land thee on fair Canaan's coast. Thy head may be crowned with thorny troubles now, but it shall wear a starry crown ere long. Thy hand may be filled with cares, it shall sweep the strings of the harp of heaven soon. Thy garments may be soiled with dust now, they shall be white by and by. Wait a little longer. Ah, how despicable our troubles and trials will seem when we look back upon them. Looking at them here in the prospect, they seem immense. But when we get to heaven, we shall then with transporting joys recount the labors of our feet. Our trials will then seem light and momentary afflictions. Let us go on boldly. If the night be never so dark, the morning cometh, which is more than they can say who are shut up in the darkness of hell. Do you know what it is thus to live on the future, to live on expectation, to antedate heaven? Happy believer, to have so sure, so comforting a hope. It may be all dark now, but it will soon be light. It may be all trial now, but it will soon be all happiness. What matters it, though weeping may endure for a night, when joy cometh in the morning?
I trust in thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
course, the Israelites had proved themselves a little in war. But what they had seen was nothing in comparison to what they were about to see. The opposition they had known was little or nothing in comparison to the opposition they were now about to encounter. Joshua recognized all that, and it must have weighed very, very heavily on his heart, because he knew these people as few people could have known Israel. He knew their strengths, he knew their weaknesses, he knew their fickleness, he knew how easily discouraged they became, he knew how quickly they would turn tail and run. He knew all that. What a comfort it was then, when just outside of Jericho, he saw the captain of the Lord's host with his sword drawn. He was ready for battle. The message to Joshua was very clear. He could now start thinking more clearly than ever before. His thoughts must have been such as to bring tremendous joy to his soul. He could say to himself, "It's true, I'm going into battle. But as I go, the Lord is going before me. He is the captain of this host, not I. He has made this cause his cause. He has his sword already drawn. Beyond all I do with my sword, he will exercise his power and wield his sword. Therefore, the responsibility for the outcome of this battle is not mine, it is the Lord's. The battle is not mine, it is the Lord's." Now, that is one of the most significant and far-reaching realizations that can grip the heart of any man or woman who's seeking to live the Christian life and who's seeking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Christian life and service, there are two extremes. They are extremes to be avoided. First of all, there is the extreme of saying, "Well, God is on the throne, he will do his will, and I don't need to do anything." That is fatalism. That is not Christianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It is not even a second cousin or a distant cousin 42 times removed from the biblical doctrine of the sovereignty and predestination of God. That is fatalism, pure and simple, and fatalism is intrinsically a doctrine of heathenism. That's one extreme. The other extreme is to be so frenetic in your activity, so burdened with your sense of duty, that you are always in defeat, that you take upon yourself the total responsibility of the success of the work of God, and therefore not seeing what you feel responsible to produce, you will do one of two things. You will drive yourself to almost insanity, or you will start manufacturing methods that will produce what look like spiritual results, but which ultimately will have no spiritual or lasting significance. Now, those are two great extremes. How do you deal with them? How do you find the golden mean? How do you balance your responsibility with all the challenge that that brings, with the sovereignty of God and all the comfort that that brings? How do you balance them? Well, you balance them the way the Lord taught Joshua to balance them. The Lord appeared to Joshua with his sword drawn, saying, Joshua, you're not in control here. I'm in control here. Now, what was the result? Did Joshua simply go back to bed and say, well, thank God the Lord's in control here. He'll deal with the walls of Jericho. He'll deal with the defenders of Jericho. And we don't even need to be bothered in any way to be in this battle. Is that what Joshua had to do? No, sir. That's not what he had to do. Joshua was still called to be a soldier. Joshua was still called to be the earthly commander. Joshua had to lead the host of Israel round and round about the city of Jericho and finally lead them into Jericho. He had to do all that. But as he did so, exerting every ounce of his energy, committing himself, even putting his life on the line for the cause of God, knowing that whether he lived or died again was something in the Lord's control, committing everything to the Lord and committing his own life to the Lord especially, he could exercise himself with all his energy in the service of his God, but at the end of the day, he could say, it is not mine to get the victory, it is the Lord's to get the victory. The battle is the Lord's. As we give ourselves to the work of God, that is a confidence that we dare not lose. In 2 Chronicles 20, we read of a very serious invasion, again an amalgamation of nations against the land of Judah. You had the Ammonites and the Moabites and a lot of others throwing in their weight. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, viewed this serious invasion with alarm. We read in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 3 and 4, that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Verse 12, this is what they prayed. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now that was their prayer. In verse 15, you have the Lord's answer by Jehaziel. Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The very truth that he had taught Joshua. Now he teaches it to Jehoshaphat. And in verse 17, he says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Jehoshaphat did not have to lead his soldiers into the initial battle. God said, stand back and watch what I do, and then you pursue the battle. In Joshua's case, the Lord sent him in right away. Although, when the walls collapsed, he did let him see what he could do first. I want you to get the picture, despite the differences of detail. The picture's always the same. That God makes himself responsible for his own work. You know, I would to God that we could grasp that today, because it seems to me that more and more people are tending to the great extremes. There are many Calvinists who do nothing much in evangelism. Now, they wouldn't admit that, but for the most part, it is true. A lot of Calvinists who do very little in evangelism. They scorn the people who would go knocking doors. They scorn the people who would go around giving out gospel tracts. They scorn the people who would have gospel campaigns. I remember one learned young man in Northern Ireland. He thought he was Northern Ireland's answer to John Calvin. He had it all between his ears. The only place in which he and I differed was how you defined it that was between his ears. He thought it was brains. I thought it was what we call over there candy floss. What is candy floss in America? I'm at a loss. After 15 years here, I still don't know the language. It's that stuff that cotton candy, that's what you call it. I think that's what he had between his ears. When we were discussing going around the whole of Northern Ireland, giving out gospel literature, having open-air meetings, having special gospel campaigns, he didn't believe in that. Didn't believe in special evangelistic efforts. And the reason he didn't believe in it was he said he was a Calvinist. That wasn't the reason at all, of course. That's a cover-up. It's nothing to do with your belief in the sovereignty of God. I was as committed to the doctrines of grace as he, but I believed in every legitimate outreach of evangelism. So there are many who are falling to that extreme. But I think that we have, especially in our fundamental churches, many who have gone to the other extreme. And they live under guilt. And preachers keep putting their whole congregation under guilt. And if people are not being saved in enough numbers, then it's because you're not doing enough. And so people keep on doing more, and they're up and down the same aisle in the same church every Sunday, making another commitment and another commitment and another commitment until they're spiritually paranoid. They really don't know how to live the Christian life. Then the preachers aren't satisfied with what's happening. So they have got to manufacture the methods that are going to get people up the aisle. And strange and stupid as it seems, we have at preachers even changing the color of the carpet and the floor because the color that was there was psychologically not beneficial to decisions. All this sort of stuff. And we have the seeker-sensitive movement now. How to get decisions. You produce what the people want and they'll come and you'll get decisions. We have the drama teams in now instead of preaching. And as they're caught up in the drama, then they walk up the aisle. We have the rock concerts. And when you've got their brains well and truly addled with the devil's music, then you can get them to make a decision for Christ. So it makes a lot of good sense. It must make sense to somebody. To the devil, if to nobody else. This is what is happening. And the reason is that to a large extent, too many of God's servants and God's people have not learned what it is, as I think Mr. Spurgeon said, when you're praying, to recognize that it all depends on God. But when you're working, go out and work as if it all depended on you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.